Today is September 13, 2026. I'm Pastor Don Williams with the First Baptist Church of Troy. We're continuing to bring you our weekly podcast or webcast. We are in the series, A Look at Selected Prophetic Passages. And today, we'll be looking at Lesson 47, Where the Trumpets Begin to Sound, in the book of Revelation, actually chapter 8. I've called this part 1, but there will be a little bit of time before we get to part 2. I'm not going away on vacation nor on extended church fellowship ministry. However, we do have a lot going on here in the church at Troy, New Hampshire. Next Sunday, the 20th, our missionaries from Japan, John and Susan Edwards, will be at the service here and share a report, and he'll bring a challenge from the Word, but we're not going to record that and make that available. However, what I plan to do, no promise, but what I plan to do is bring you a single message. Some would call it a homily. I'm thinking, again, no promises, but Psalm 24, when we referred to that a few messages back, I really wanted to go a little deeper there and did not have the opportunity because of time. The following Sunday, which is the 27th, actually it's Saturday the 26th, my Aunt Joan Waite's funeral will be taking place, and I will be traveling to Maine to be there, and after spending time with the family, it will be late when I get back, and there will be no way that we'll be able to do the recordings as we usually do that day. So I'm going to do something up early and have it available. At least that's the plan. And again, it will not be on the theme of our selected prophetic passages. Now, we're not done yet, because on the 4th of October, we have a concert. And obviously, we won't be recording that. So for the next 3 Sundays after today, we're going, or our intention is to give you shorter single messages. We want the Holy Spirit to use them as effectively as can be. We're trusting and hoping that a break from the deeper prophecy series will be a good thing, but I'm just telling you that look for this every week so that you understand what is going on. We will come back, Lord willing, to the selected prophetic series, continuing with lesson 47 and trumpets 5 and/or 6, and that will be on the 11th of October. So for you that are downloading these messages later off the archives, this is no problem. But you that follow them on the weekly podcast or webcast, there will be a 3-week delay on the series. We will be here and we will bring you a message from the Word of God. Pray for us throughout all these things, that the God have His will and way. And we do thank you very much for your understanding. We appreciate you that faithfully listen, and especially those of you that contact us to let us know that you're listening. It is a blessing just to know that you're out there, and that hopefully God is using this ministry to meet needs in your lives. Okay, enough housekeeping. Let's pray and get right into the message. Father, I commit this message here to you as we record it for our extended church fellowship, for our podcast, and for our webcast. Take your word and use it, Lord, especially in these uncertain days in which we live. And even though the passages that we're looking at can be extremely awesome by way of your judgment, we thank you that through it all, there is the thread of your grace, mercy, and redemption. So, Lord, I put my voice, my thoughts, the message that we have prepared into your hands. Just ask you to direct that the truth and only the truth go forth. Apply your word to every need on every heart, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's quickly quickly take a fast skip through some of the things that we've looked at, particularly the highlights, so that we can pick up with the flow here. We found in Revelation the seven seal scroll, which is the title deed to planet Earth, and Jesus Christ is there opening it, as he is the only one that legitimately qualifies to open it. Now the redeeming of Earth is going to begin. The seals on this scroll will lead to seven trumpet judgments. The seventh trumpet will lead to seven bowl judgments. And then comes the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the second coming. Now, as the seals were opened, the first four are what we call the four horsemen. There's a white horse, a false pseudo-messiah, a red horse, which depicted war, a black horse, illustrating famine and starvation, a pale green horse, representing death, and notice this, folks, a quarter of the population die, over 2 billion by today's statistics. Now, we will leave the horsemen and go to the fifth seal. There we found martyrs that had been slain for the word of God. Remember, the word of God is both living, which is Jesus Christ, and written, which are the scriptures. Next, of course, came the sixth seal, a cosmic catastrophe. Here we saw the first of three great earthquakes, a darkened sun, a reddish moon, a great meteor shower, mountains and islands moving, and people great and small hiding in caves, calling for the rocks to fall on them and hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. Now, between the sixth and seventh seals, as well as the sixth and seventh trumpet, as well as the sixth and seventh bowl judgment, we have a passage of scripture. It can be, like in today's case, one chapter, or I should say a couple weeks ago that was the case when we looked at that parenthetical passage. But we saw here 144,000 Jews sealed to serve in evangelism to the tribulation population. Let me finish the thought that I had just started. Between the sixth and seventh trumpet, there will be another parenthetical passage, but this will be multiple chapters, and then there'll be another between the sixth and seventh bowl, or in that area there. Back to the parenthesis, 144,000 Jews sealed to serve in evangelism to the tribulation population. We took a look at those that were converted and found it to be a number that could not be calculated. Found before the throne they were, offering their praise and worship. And then last week, we saw the seventh seal opened as we continued our study. Here, we mentioned that as this is opening the door to the seven trumpets, a third of the remaining population will die. So the seventh seal opened. The first thing we encountered was a half hour of silence. Maybe mercy continuing, grace continuing, maybe just for effect. But at any rate, the trumpets are a prelude to establishing a monarchy. We looked a little bit at Joshua, comparing some of the highlights of Joshua with the book of Revelation. A deep study on this would reveal a lot of similarities. But we considered the Battle of Jericho, linked that with the seven trumpets. We discovered these events were really very bizarre. All rules were broken. There was the army, seven priests with trumpets in the ark, which never went to war, marching around the walled city of Jericho 7 days, and on the seventh day, they do this seven times. The priests blow their trumpet, the people shout, and God does the battle of bringing the walls down. We We notice throughout that Joshua's order to be silent, connecting that with the silence of these trumpets. The purposes of trumpets, we discovered, were determined by the sound. In the wilderness, which you find most of it in Exodus, a trumpet call could do a couple of things, maybe more, but one, it would call to assembly, and second, it would indicate it was time to get ready to move on or move out, pack up the tabernacle and all the camp that was very portable. But when they got in the land, and we find this in Numbers 10 and verses 9 and 10 specifically, the trumpet sound could call them to war. They're going to war. They also sounded at the beginning of months. They sounded at the burnt offerings and sacrifices. And in Numbers 10:4, we discovered a single trumpet called the leadership together and mentioned that this may be associated with the last trump concerning the passage in Thessalonians over the rapture. Don't take the last trump to be the seventh trumpet in association with the rapture. It does not fit there. Now, before the trumpet sounded, there was a dramatic prelude from the altar of incense. An angel had a golden censer that was the container for the burning incense, and also carried live coals of fire from the brazen altar to the altar of incense. Keep in mind, the altar of incense was kept afire by the brazen altar out front. This angel was given an abundance of incense, which pictures prayer. He offered this with the prayers, scripture says, of all the saints. And in the temple or tabernacle, the incense, we'll call it ritual, which represents prayer, was offered twice daily, morning prayer, evening prayer. Now next, the angel filled the censer with fire, not just coals, fire from the altar, and he cast it to earth. This was accompanied by voices, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. The very judgment, we pointed this out, that God had poured out upon his son on the cross as he died and paid potentially for the sins of the world, those that rejected it, it is now cast back at them. Now, you're at the point, I believe, of the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, and the judgment is going to really intensify. So now, for today's lesson, the seven angels prepare to blow their trumpets. We're going to look and figuratively hear four of them. The rest will have to wait for 3 or 4 weeks when we get back to this series. The first trumpet sounds in Revelation 8. Look at verse 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. Here's the result. A third part of trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. So what have we got here? Well, literally what the scripture says, hail, fire mingled with blood, it's cast upon the earth. Now, how do we interpret that? Well, I would say as literal as possible. When you see the words like and as, you realize that it's symbolic, but that's not the case here. We've seen these elements, hail, fire, and it says mingled with blood. And my thinking is that this blood is caused as a result of the things that are following, particularly the hail and fire, as this judgment is reaching the earth. However, it's not really the people that are targeted, at least directly. Here, one third of trees and all the green grass was burned up. You think about that. I volunteered as a fireman when I was at Campobello, up there where the custom often was in the spring to burn the dry grass so that it wouldn't cause trouble later. They thought a controlled burn burn was better than one out of control. A lot of blueberry fields around there, they would burn those fields because of the fact that blueberries have to have that fire to grow, at least the wild Maine blueberries do. The bush blueberries, some of you, and especially here, are familiar with. That is not the case. But we would see in Washington County, Maine, and a lot of places, a lot of area that had been deliberately burned. But no way at all was that even close to a third. We had a forest fire on Deer Island, and a community was at high risk. And our department went over to assist them and brought the ferry special for our fire equipment. We put Lubeck, Maine on call, and away we went. And they had the fire bombers from the air and everything. I was actually down here on vacation and missed that experience, but I heard the reports. But as devastating as that was, it wasn't a third part of that island. I cannot imagine. I heard of where my friends the Hoopas were at, of a fire that was approaching them. I put a prayer alert out for the people of that community, and not too many weeks later, I was up in the area, and folks, I was hard pressed to find that. But that fire was making big news. But you imagine a third part of the trees and all the green grass burned up. Yes, green grass can grow back. Trees, not so fast. You've only got 3.5 years here. That is no small judgment. Let's go to the second one, the second trumpet. Verse 8, and the second angel sounded, and as it were. Okay, now there's your signal that this may not be a literal mountain. As it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. Now let's talk a little bit about this. A great mountain burning with fire. No, God doesn't, I don't think, dig up a mountain on earth, set it all afire, and then cast it into the sea. My assumption is that this is a meteorite or even possibly an asteroid. I think it's a heavenly body of a pretty good size that comes in. Through August, we went through the meteor shower. To my knowledge, none hit the earth. It's quite spectacular to watch those things. But this is, by the time it strikes the atmosphere, it's like a great mountain, and it hits the sea, one of the oceans. Now it says a third part of the sea became blood. Is that literal? Well, I really don't know there. There's a lot of death, so I can see where the blood could easily come from. We also had a term on the coast, red tide, and that was caused by various reasons, and some try to apply this to that. I'm not going to get hard and fast. What I'm going to get hard and fast about is a third of the sea becomes blood, it says. And however you slice it, that part of the sea is not sustaining life. In fact, it says very clearly, a third of the sea and living creatures die, and a third of the ships are destroyed. You say, well, how could one little body, even if it is like a great mountain, do all of that? Well, think with me a little bit. You are in the vicinity within several, maybe even 100 miles of where this thing would hit. Yes, pretty much. You're not going to survive. But think about the other cause that happens. The result, tidal wave or tidal waves. And as these things go out and are huge, and then there's always sometimes the second waves, and maybe even third to follow. This is a disaster of high proportions. The third trumpet. Revelation 8, verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and there was a great star from heaven burning, here we go again, as it were, a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became Wormwood. wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. What is going on here? Well, a great star falls from heaven. The Bible says, as it were a lamp. No, it's not a lamp. It's a star. Some commentators try to push a fact that this may be an angelic type creature. Oftentimes, the word star can refer to that. I personally do not think so here. I think it's a heavenly body. I don't believe it's a star for obvious reasons we've talked about before. It could be another asteroid, another meteor. It could. This is go light with this, but it could be a comet. Why do I say that? Well, comets are very gaseous, and this thing that happens here, if you study it close enough and try to apply what science we know and understand, it is likely gaseous. And if this exploded in the atmosphere and the fallout from that falling on Earth, apparently it affects 1/3 of rivers. It says fountains. I'm going to call that springs. You know what you've got here, folks? You've got your fresh water. The ocean was one thing, but your fresh water that we would depend upon for everything. Number one, drinking, cleaning, irrigation. I mean, water is a very necessary substance. 1/3 of this has become poison. Let's talk about this word wormwood. I looked this up, and it is basically, I'll call it a product. It's an extraction that comes from a root, and it's really poison. And it's not just poison, it's deadly, yes, but it is tormenting. It is not good. It causes a form of drunkenness, we would say, or being drugged, being stoned, maybe, but it does bring death eventually. An interesting sidebar. The Russian word for wormwood is Chernobyl, and at least you older listeners know what Chernobyl was all about. It was that nuclear power plant that did experience a meltdown. A lot of people died, and as I understand it, there are a lot of unsung heroes there that maybe kept that from becoming another disaster. But interesting, almost rightly named. Not that they intended for that to happen. No, it was a power plant that they wanted, I'm sure, the most success, but they named it that, and that was the outcome. So 1/3 of freshwater supply has become not only unusable, but poisonous, and many are going to die because of that. Wow. But we go to the fourth trumpet, Revelation 8 and verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, 1/3 part of the moon, and 1/3 part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for 1/3 part of it, and the night likewise. Now, folks, I'll just say right up front here, I can't offer you too many satisfying explanations of what is going on. And I'm going to take the very high road here and say, God, Jesus Christ, the creator and the sustainer, the master of physics, particle physics, quantum physics, the master of all hyperspace, multi-dimensions, he can do anything he wants to. And though I would argue that shutting the sun down to by 1/3, obviously that would affect the moon, but it says the stars also. And I'm not sure that's how it works. It may be some atmospheric catastrophe that has darkened all this stuff down to 1/3. But just think of the outcome. Just take that at face value. 1/3 part of the sun, moon, and stars are reduced. It's going to affect the light. It's going to affect the heat. And there's going to be a whole line of consequences and things that happen as a result of this. Now, it's temporary. This doesn't last for the rest of the tribulation. But one point that I would make, by now, the humans, if they haven't already, should begin to understand that God is directly intervening here. Some of these things can be declared as natural causes, but I remind you there is a sustainer, and in this case, we see direct intervention. Before I leave the message for the day, let's go to verse 13 of chapter 8. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, and by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound." Now, folks, these four trumpets have been disaster beyond anything the world has seen, and almost bringing the whole of population to the very edge of even existence. A third of just about everything is gone. And by the time these next two, that's going to include people. We have, it says here, an angel. A lot of manuscripts, I'm talking about the ancient copies of scripture that we have, from which I say we, scholars would do their translating. Some of the older ones actually use the word eagle. And the thought is, because they're older, they're maybe more accurate. I agree that's logical, but I'm not totally sure that it's always true. I have no real quibble here. I could easily see an angel doing this, but an eagle flying through the sky talking? Are we going a little bit over the top here? Now, J. Vernon McGee says very clearly, God can make a parrot talk, he can make an eagle talk. Well, I guess I would agree to that, because God is God. How loud would an eagle be? Well, they can make quite a racket, but I'm not totally sure. However, let me tie this to something. Go back and check out Revelation 4:7, and you've got cherubs. Now, there are the four living creatures that seem to have four faces each. Then you have the cherubs, which seem to represent one. And I said to you, there's a lot of stuff here going on that I have no idea. But there is the fourth cherub that depicts or is depicted by an eagle. Is it this cherub that is sent out to proclaim this? Maybe, but it's only an idea. I have no right to build a firm argument there, really. So I'll say that to you for your interest. Again, don't build a church or split one over it. Another sidebar here. In Matthew 24:28, Jesus mentioned about the eagles gathering at the last battle. That would be Armageddon. Does that tie in there? Well, you're going to have to push it to make it tie, but I will mention that to you. Again, you've got that threefold woe. Why that? Because there are three more trumpets. And we're going to be getting into with the first two, not the first two, it's really the fifth and sixth. But of these three, it'd be the first two. And it's a lot of demonic activity. The seventh trumpet, of course, is opening up the seven bowls of wrath, where all that we're seeing here is going to intensify even more. I told you about the waves. As the seals are broken, you see a lot of violent things happen that have actually been happening all through history. But comparatively, through history, they're very mild. Then when the trumpets sound, this steps up. We've already had a quarter of the population gone. And as these unfold, you're going to lose of the remaining three quarters another third. And when that seventh trumpet blows and the bowls come in, there's a major amount more. I'll ask the question again, where are the atheists now? And yet, still, they do not repent. Well, so what? Well, I don't really have to say it. It's an understatement. But things, and by things I mean judgment, they are intensifying. But remember what we've been hanging on to through all of this intense judgment. Jesus Christ is still not willing that any should perish. We have seen his grace, his mercy, his long-suffering. They're long. But keep in mind, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you need to put your belief, your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary when he took your sin and mine and paid the price of it, dying, shedding his blood. God poured his wrath out upon him. Judgment went upon him rather than on us. It's by his love, his agape love and mercy that we are not consumed. So don't neglect such a great gift of salvation. But as all of this judgment and finalization of planet Earth as we know it, God's plan will not be thwarted or derailed. Again, I say, God is in complete control. So, Father, thank you for that fact. Press it home to us, Lord, as we look at this. May we not dwell on the horror, the terror, but upon your great love and the comfort and the rest that you bring the believer into. But any that have not put their faith and trust in you, may they hear the good news that Jesus Christ has died and paid the price for our sin. God's judgment was diverted to him. We can go free just as if we'd never sinned. Make it a reality in every life. And now, Lord, as we leave for 3 weeks, this subject, give it a rest. May the passages that we do turn to in our smaller messages, homilies, devotions, whatever, may they be a huge blessing and meet needs as well. So guide us and direct us, Lord, as we plan, study, and plot all this out. We just, until next time, ask your richest blessing on each listener. In Jesus' name, amen.